Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 16,
Episode 9.
This is Writing Excuses, Crossing Revenue Streams.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're going to need more than one stream.
I'm Dan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Howard.
So one of the things that I think is common to every successful artist that I know of is that they have lots of different eggs in lots of different baskets. They are earning money from a lot of different revenue streams. And so we want to talk about that as the final class in Brandon's intensive course on career planning and business information. So Brandon, take it away. What do people need to know about multiple revenue streams? Why is this an important part of an author's career?
So you need to find a way to make money off of your writing. This is what you're going to have to do. This is what, if you want to go pro, you don't have to, but if you're looking at this as a business, one of the things you should be looking at is how can I make money at this? And the obvious answer is sell a book. However, for at least most authors I know, once you sell a book, you want to go full time. You probably should go full time to make a living at your writing, but you probably can't earn enough off of that book to go full time yet. And indeed, even if you're a newer aspiring writer who's selling short stories and things like that, or maybe you're a long-term writer who's selling short stories, you are going to need to find a way to make a living, or at least you're going to want to find a way to make more money off of your stories. And so this is ways to make money with your writing that aren't necessarily the obvious ways of you write your book, you sell your book, you get money for it. And we're going to talk about all sorts of other types of revenue streams you can have as a writer and to keep yourself going during those maybe lean years.
So I told this story to Howard last week, but when I went years ago to my 20th high school reunion, they did those little games like who has the most kids and who's done this and who traveled the farthest and all that kind of thing that you do at a reunion. The question, who has held the most jobs since graduating high school? Most people were on like 4 or 5, except for me, the professional author, and my friend who became a professional filmmaker, we both tied with 14. And that's not even counting all the freelance work that I do. And so artists really need to hustle to pay all those bills.
Yep. And so one of the first things we want to talk about here is other ways to be writing stories that aren't maybe necessarily the, you write a book or you write a story, whatever you want to write and sell it. There are job opportunities that are still writing fiction in the area you want to be in that you can get. I wanted to have Dan talk to us about because Dan had the experience of a series that was pitched by a publisher to him, right?
Yeah. This is actually not a lot of people know this, but that's where Partials came from. The publisher came to me, two editors, Jordan Brown and Ruta Remus at HarperCollins. They had an idea for a really great kind of post-apocalyptic dystopia YA series and were looking for an author who fit it. And so they actually brought that idea to me. And it was not something I had considered doing because at the time, everything I had written was horror. But number one, I really welcomed the opportunity to jump into something very, very different as a way of making sure I didn't pigeonhole myself as the serial killer guy for a number of reasons. That's not the identity I was looking for. But number two, this was a chance for me to build inroads to a brand new audience I had not yet been reaching, to a brand new publisher that I had never worked before, to do just a lot of new frontiers. And I really saw it at the time as a brand new revenue stream. And then when that whole YA career kind of crumbled in, let's say, 2014, that's the same. I used that same strategy again of let's find a brand new audience and build a brand new revenue stream, which is how I got into middle grade.
This happens a lot with anthologies also. People will ask you if you want to be a part of an anthology, or it'll go around in the community that an anthology is being made on this topic and they're accepting proposals or submissions. Once you become part of the community, you can get, you know, watch some of these forums or these newsletters or these things like that. And this comes into the networking that we talked about in a previous week. Anthologies can be a good way to make money off of your writing other than just I'm writing a story and submitting it. You can write to a theme.
Yeah. Tie-in fiction has also been really helpful for me. My only Hugo nomination for prose, for a prose category, has come from tie-in fiction. Now, and this can be hard. I've got a friend who writes Star Trek novels, and I was kind of grilling him for how can I get into this because I'm a huge Star Trek geek. And he basically said, you have to wait for one of the rest of us to die. And so these established properties can be hard to break into. But what I have done is I've made some pretty good contacts with gaming companies. I've written for Privateer Press. I've written for several others. The one that I've just finished is a Kickstarter for a board game called Cult of the Deep. And they came to me and they said, hey, we're coming out with this thing. It's horror. We want to have some fiction built so that we can use it as part of the Kickstarter. Will you write it for us? And so always being open for and looking for these opportunities to write other stuff has been super helpful to me.
And I think that,
yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think that's something, it's really interesting because it's a trade-off. So, you know, so I do a lot of freelance writing work, some game stuff. I've done some writing for like Paizo, and I write for Zombies Run, the running app, you know, so things here and there. But what's the balance is figuring out what is adding to your skill as a writer or expanding your audience and what is just like, I like money, money is fun. So whenever actually a project comes to me, I play Say No to This from Hamilton. And I picture my freelance client as like the woman saying, I'm like, I should say no, but I will always say yes. But I've actually had to say no to a few projects because they are far enough off from what I'm doing that I'm like, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to grow either my audience or as a writer, which I think either one of those are a good reason to do extra stuff in addition to the money.
So the second big thing I wanted to cover is ways to make money off of writing you've already done that isn't necessarily writing prose. And the reason I want to talk about this is because Howard is a genius at this. He has had to make his whole career off of monetizing something that people aren't paying for. Howard, what can you tell us about how to monetize things that are free or get extra money out of something that you're charging a little bit?
I'm laughing because on the one hand, yes, you know, the comic is available for free and we have all kinds. I say the comic Schlock Mercenary, available to be read by you, fair reader, at no charge at schlockmercenary.com. Yes, it's free and we sell, you know, t-shirts and coins and whatever else, but most of the merchandise that the most profitable merchandise we sell is book collections of the comic. And so a lot of what I'm doing is getting enough people hooked on the book that they want to own it in print. But there are things that the comic created, there are things that it built that lent themselves really well to being an independent revenue stream. So that even if you didn't want a print collection of the comic strip, maybe you wanted this other thing.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Awesome. So can you tell us about our book of the week, which happens very cleverly to tie right into this?
Why, yes, I can. We created the 70 Maxims of Maximally Effective Mercenaries, which is a sort of coffee table book of very, very bad advice, malevolent canon, it's often referred to in universe. I'd been making fun of the Stephen Covey, the Seven Habits thing. And then years and years and years ago, Stephen Covey started going after anybody who was saying the seven habits of anything, basically saying cease and desist, don't do that anymore. And we went ahead and did a retcon in Schlock Mercenary and started referring to them as maxims. And there aren't seven of them. There are 70 of them. And then I realized, you know, I might be able to make stuff out of this. And so we made some 12-month calendars. Well, print calendars aren't as big a thing as they were 15 years ago. And so about 5 years ago, we released the 70 Maxims book, which we created as an in-universe artifact in Schlock Mercenary. And we did it as part of the Schlock Mercenary role-playing game called Planet Mercenary, which is itself a whole nother thing that is not the comic. The Planet Mercenary role-playing game paid the bills all by itself for like 2.5 years. That is the best thing we've ever made. I mean, except for the comic, which, you know, makes this possible. And the fun thing about the Planet Mercenary book is that my whole approach to it from the word go was, boy, it sure would be nice if I could make money off of my world book notes that I have to refer to all the time. And I still refer to the Planet Mercenary PDF all the time. But the book of the week, 70 Maxims of Maximally Effective Mercenaries. It is a lovely little coffee table book that's great for starting conversations about things you should never, ever do, please.
Now, one of the things that I love about this book and specifically about the plan that caused its creation is I've always compared your maxims to Star Trek's rules of acquisition for the Ferengi. And you made a decision that they did not make. And maybe this ties back to our art versus business discussion. You were able, because you eventually ended that list and codified everything in it, you were able to publish it. Star Trek has never done that. They're missing out on a big chunk of change. They could have, at the height of DS9, sold copies of the rules of acquisition hand over fist. And they decided not to, presumably because they liked the flexibility of not having codified the entire list. But these are the kind of decisions that as creators we need to make. Do I want to leave this open? Can I turn this into something that I can sell? It's a really smart tactic.
And let me talk about Paramount's decision there. Back in 2006, Robert Koo, who was the business guy for Penny Arcade Comics, he's the reason there's a Penny Arcade Expo. Robert Koo said, no single source should ever be more than 60% of the revenue that you take in. Now, he was talking to an audience of self-employed, self-publishing web cartoonists. And he was talking about things like, you know, Google ads and books in print and T-shirts and whatever else. But the advice really stuck with me. And it was super salient, 3-4 years ago when Google ads cut me off. And I realized, oh, no, that's a big chunk of my revenue. Well, it's about 10 or 15% of my overall revenue. That did not end my life because we had multiple revenue streams. And so the operating principle here is, you know, don't have anything that you're just super dependent on. With Paramount, making a book of the rules of acquisition, the Ferengi rules of acquisition, would have meant devoting a writer to the process of compiling that and making it special and wonderful. And ultimately, it never would have generated more than chump change, if you will, compared to the business that they were in, which is making a TV show. And so they made a business decision to leave, I mean, what would have been for me, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to leave that on the table. But hundreds of thousands of dollars, that gets like 4 episodes shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very significant. And so the decision about revenue streams hinges for me heavily in part on how much work do I need to do in order to make money off of this and how much profit is there in the thing that I'm making. I love books because they don't cost a lot to make if I don't factor all of the time involved in writing them. But we can sell them, you know, the profit margin is large on the physical merchandise. But for a print-on-demand T-shirt, the margin is very small. And if my limited market of people is all buying print-on-demand T-shirts, I'm actually not making as much money as I would be if I could convince them all to buy copies of the 70 Maxims of Maximally Effective Mercenaries.
One of the things that's interesting here to talk about is this idea that there are once you are lucky enough to be getting fans and keeping them, there are people among them who want to give you more money. Then they want to support your work. I remember when this first began with me, I actually got an email from someone who said, hey, can I just send you a bunch of money? I happen to just be very well off and I want to just send you a tip. And I'm like, really? You just are offering to send me money? People like to support artists. And so having some of these extra products that you can sell is a good way to go. It does require time. Dan was the first writer I knew personally who made T-shirts. And I know that T-shirts are one of the harder things to do because you have to carry them in multiple sizes. And they are there's a saturated market of cool nerd T-shirts out there. And so making a dent and being, selling those is hard, but they are a nice, like one thing that we need that Paramount needs it on a different scale. We need multiple revenue streams in that if something collapses, we aren't destroyed by it. When Borders went out of business, this was a big deal, right? And it's possible that other sources like that will just vanish. And so even if T-shirts are a small amount of your business, knowing that you have that extra revenue stream can be very comforting. About 3 years ago, maybe, Howard came to me and I was talking about the leather bounds that we do. And the leather bounds are one of the things I wanted to bring up here. I am in a privileged position in that I have a big enough audience to support a luxury product like this. And I was talking about it, and Howard said, Brandon, you need to do a Kickstarter on these. And I'm like, why? He's like, oh, Kickstarter has a lot more tools you can use. You can generate a lot more interest by offering rewards to people. Trust me, do a Kickstarter. I had never done one before. I went to my team and said, Howard says we should do a Kickstarter. And Howard is the smartest person I know about this sort of stuff. So let's do a Kickstarter. Last summer, we made almost $8 million on a Kickstarter. And
I got a free book.
And Howard got a free book. And this, it was true. And it was bigger than the money we made. The peace of mind knowing that we could now self-publish any of my books if the publishing industry went belly up or something happened at Tor. That peace of mind is enormous, knowing that I could have another way to reach my fans. Again, it's through someone else's platform. And that is, you know, scary. The fact that if Kickstarter went away, I can't sell them on my website as effectively as I can through Kickstarter. But it gives me someone other than Amazon, because the rest of my life is controlled by Amazon. 80% of my books are sold through this one store that if, you know, Jeff Bezos decides he doesn't like me and says, pull Brandon's books, then my career collapses. Well, not anymore, because I have learned how to sell my books through Kickstarter if I need to because of Howard.
Fantastic. Good job, Howard. So this has been a really good discussion, and I hope that what our audience takes away from this more than anything else is that you need to be looking for these other opportunities, regardless of what those might be and regardless of how big they are. I could never in my wildest dreams make $8 million self-pubbing something the way Brandon does. But I do have lots of other work that I do and lots of other little streams of revenue. And so even the little stuff helps and is valuable. And you need to look for opportunities to do that. So thank you very much for listening to this episode. Let's have our final piece of homework from Howard.
Okay. I want you to look at, identify the places where you are getting money. They may be checks from a publisher. They may be checks from Amazon. They might be, I don't know where you are getting money from, but identify each of those as a revenue stream, and then identify, write it down. What is the activity that you are performing that is generating that revenue? If it's ad revenue on your website, then the activity is not necessarily writing, it's publishing things to the web. So establish a framework for where the money is currently coming from. Now start looking at the ideas, the concepts, the conceits, the whatever that are in your work that could be turned into other things that might make you money. Maybe it's a t-shirt, maybe it's a commemorative Christmas ornament. Maybe it's a flag that goes on the back of a pickup truck. I don't know, but make a list of the possible places that the ideas, the concepts, the conceits in your work could be turned into other merchandise.
Fantastic. All right. Well, this has been Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production. Jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.